Lord, we just thank you for family. Lord, we thank you for delivering all of them, bringing them all in. Lord, we know you're going to do it because we believe in household salvation. We thank you, Lord, for a good time tonight. Celebration, Lord. We're just going to have a celebration tonight. Praise you, Father, for all that you do in each one of us. And Lord, we just ask and we pray for your anointing tonight upon everybody. And that tonight would be a special time. And Lord, I know it's a season for a lot of people. It is for this family. And Lord, we thank you for giving us the grace to just go along with it until the truth comes out. And Father, we just praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that when we pray, that you listen and that the angels are sent forth to do the work that has to be done. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, has anybody got anything to need prayer? Is my sound okay? Okay, good deal. I brought my professional microphone with me because I figured I'd need it. Yeah, Debbie.
I have a testimony to start out with because you're praying for household salvation. And we shared this a couple mornings ago in the morning meeting. about a year ago, there was a year ago that Denny's nephew got married. We took off to Illinois for the wedding. And he's not walking with the Lord. And she wasn't a believer. But that was the wedding day that had a real miracle. It was raining and it was in an outside wedding, and God just answered prayer and split the clouds. Sun came out when they started coming down the outside aisle. I mean, outside the sandy aisle there, the sun broke out, and they were delivered. The women, the bridesmaids and the bride came in some kind of a horse wagon or something because it was so muddy. And when she stepped out of the end of that to walk down the trail and saw the sun, she had asked God for a sign. And when that sun came out and just shone on her, was a real sign. So that was a real blessing to hear that. And then, so we got a report the other day that Denny's nieces are starting a Bible study. And Emily, who is the bride I was just talking about, was there. And they were doing the Bible study. And then she just started crying. And they were like, wow, what's going on? What's wrong? And she goes, well, I haven't told you, but on my wedding day, I got saved and born again. And whatever reason, whatever they were talking about made her, touched her heart to tell them. And so all this time, she'd been saved and born again that day on her wedding day. No one really knew. So it's kind of a time of celebration right now. And but we're believing God's going to use her and Shobi's life to Shobi, and draw him to the Lord, because they know, he knows the ways of the Lord. He's brought up in a Christian, strong Christian home. So we believe in a household salvation. And
thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for that. Thank you, Lord, that the whole family's coming in. In the name of Jesus. All right. That's a good testimony. Anybody else? Gives me a lot of hope. Yeah, Matt, go ahead. Can't hear you.
Well, Leanne wanted me to share the testimony about the black dinosaur. So he's been seeing in his room a black dinosaur. And he's become where he's become afraid to go in his room. And turn on the light, then he's okay. But so you know, we'd cast it out and have him believe with us, you know, that it's gone, and it'd be okay for a little while. Well, I guess the other morning, when he got up, he told his mama that, you know, he saw the black dino in there, and he said, "You go in the name of Jesus," and poof, it's gone. So, praise the Lord. We're raising him in the right way.
Amen. You go, Obadiah. You got the authority, boy. What'd he say?
He's asking Mama about the noodles.
Oh, that a boy. Forget about the dinosaur now. Go for something to eat. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? That's a good testimony. Thank you, Father, for putting that in Obadiah's heart. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Marilyn.
Mine's not it's a testimony of faith. By faith, I believe that my beloved is healed. I've been praying for him. He's there's been a spirit of infirmity, especially in his sinuses, and just kind of not feeling good all over. And we have prayed for him and commanded that spirit of infirmity out of him and off of him. And I'm just asking that everyone else will agree with us. And Lord, I thank you and praise you. I thank you, Lord, that you're the Lord God of all flesh, and is anything too hard for you? And Lord, that we have asked and we pray that and trust that we have received what we have believed when we ask, that it's already been done. And Lord, I'm asking for fast acting prayer here. I know sometimes it's time release, but I'm asking for fast acting prayer, and that by the time we get off of here this evening, that Barry going to be feeling much better and lifted up and strength restored, and his sinuses are just completely healed, and he's going to get some really good sleep tonight. And Lord, I thank you, and I thank you for everybody that's putting their faith with ours for his healing. Father, I thank you for being able to come before the throne of grace with my brothers and sisters in Christ here. And Lord, I just feel the love of Jesus here, and I thank you for answering my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We hook our faith up with Marilyn and Barry. And Father, we thank you that he is healed. We thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed his blood of all infirmities in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that all the symptoms have gone too in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that Barry is healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. We just praise you, Father, that Barry is healed. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. My. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Woo, my. All right, it's done. I believe it. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
I have a couple prayer requests, if you would all agree with me. One of my coworkers, Gustavo, He is a man of faith. He is he's still, you know, caught up in the religious thing and stuff. But I know he has faith. He prays, and I know God's answered his prayers before. And anyhow, he's been struggling with some back pain, and it's been coming and going. And he went to not a chiropractor, but some other kind of doctor that did some kind of spinal manipulation thing to help relieve the pressure he was under and stuff, and he felt better, but it's come back. So, you know, I prayed with him, but I noticed today he was walking, he was still real stiff in his back, but he doesn't complain. And he's really he does not complain. I really love Gustavo. And so, Father, I lift him up to you, to the throne of grace. And you know Gustavo, and you know his heart, and he doesn't know a lot of things about faith, about healing and that kind of thing, but yet he does, because I know he's told me several instances where he has seen miracles, people he knows. And God, you've done miracles. And I just pray, Father, right now in Jesus' name, that you're going to show him and give him the gift of faith for himself. And we just stand in agreement that that demon of pain and inflammation and everything that's causing the problems in his spine, you go in the authority of Jesus Christ. And any problem there, if it's this cartilage, if it's the, you know, just the spine out of alignment, we just command it to come into total agreement with the Word of God, and you line up with the Word of God. And you, and thank you, Lord, that Gustavo's not going to have any pain anymore in his back. And Lord, you heard our conversation yesterday at lunch, and he was talking about his mom and different things have been going on with her and his family and stuff. Gustavo has 11 brothers and sisters, and he's somewhere in the middle. And Father, he shared with us that his mom stays at home, and they pay for her to have 24-hour care most of the days of the week, but only there's only four of his siblings, three others besides him that share the cost in that. And I just pray, Lord, that you would take care of that. You bless those, you know, Gustavo and his brothers and sisters for taking care of their mom the way they have been. And Father, I know that there's nothing impossible when we believe and put our faith together. Lord, if there's a way you can change his other siblings' hearts to join in contributing to the cost of that care for her, that would really be awesome. Because I don't know how much it is, but I know it's not inexpensive. And I know Gustavo, he doesn't make a lot of money, but, you know, you always provide. So I just pray that you would take care of that need, Father, the way you know how, because you know his family. And I thank you in Jesus' name. I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for working in that man. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. Anyone else? I got a little test. Yeah, go ahead, Danny. I'll let you go, and then I'll go after you.
Well, I pray for our daughter and her family, Hadassah and Brad. And they have four children, and they're moving back to Illinois from Florida, and they're moving this Saturday. And they're kind of going back limping, you might say. You know, he's been just had no work down there with that insurance after the storm type insurance, but he's got better opportunities back in Illinois and Iowa. And plus he used to be a builder, and he can work in some construction temporarily. So I think he's gonna do both things when he gets back there. But they're going back on Saturday, and it's just kind of overwhelming for them right now, you know, all the moving right now this time of year and with the four kids and that. So, but we just want them to, God's got something here for them. So Father, we lift up Brad and Hadassah and the children to you, Father. We lift, oh God, we just pray for your grace, just first of all, for your rest in their hearts, to Father, just to know that they can trust you. And I know they're looking to you, Father. They're believers, and they cry out to you. And so we just thank you. We give them that rest and assurance, Lord, of the decisions they have to they'll be making coming up when they get back to Illinois, and concerning work and where to live and all these things, and just the moving and all this activity. And so we just ask for your grace to be upon them, God, and put them in the right church, I pray. Keep them away from that, you know, the false revival type churches, Father. We just keep them away from that, God. We just thank you, Father. Just direct them and guide them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for opening up doors for them. Let me get up there. Are they Christians? Okay. Well, Lord, I ask that you put a hunger in them to seek you with all their hearts. And then it'll open up all kinds of doors for them. We thank you for it, Father. Because your word says, when you run after you with all our hearts, everything else will fall into place. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Missy.
Hi. Tomorrow we're going to have Alex's best friend, Nathaniel, over for dinner. And I'm making a big meal, kind of like a little turkey and filling and all that stuff. And I hadn't seen Nathaniel for probably 4.5 years. And I just want to pray that we would have a a good visit with him, and that all of us would just have you know, good fellowship and good talk. And anyway, Father, I just ask you to bless our time together with Nathaniel, Lord. And Lord, just bless Nathaniel and his family, Lord. Especially his aunt and uncle, Lord, who are Jewish, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I've prayed for them, Lord, for that they would repent and believe and know that Jesus is their Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. And I ask you, Father, to draw Nathaniel back to you. Draw Alex. Thank you, Lord, that you're drawing Alex back to you, Lord, and that Lord, they would be able to see each other more often, Lord, especially once they graduate from college. But Lord, that you would draw them both back to you, and that they would have a friendship in you, Lord. And I just ask you to guide and direct our conversation tomorrow, Lord, that it be of you, and that your love and care would come out of Merle and I towards both the boys, Lord. And I just ask you to fill our house with your presence and your Holy Spirit at all times, but especially then, Lord, and that Nathaniel and Alex both would see our love and care for both of them and their friendship, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Missy and Merle. Praise you, Father. It's going to be peace in the house. Everybody's going to have a good time in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I believe it. Okay. I thought you were connected. Oh, that was back a while back. Okay, I'm distracted. All right, praise the Lord. I got a testimony and a prayer request. Yesterday, I was up at one of my favorite places called Home Depot, and I had to take some stuff back, a lot of stuff that I'd had. Last time I was home, I'd asked someone to do that. They couldn't do it for whatever reason. So anyway, I was kind of wondering whether they'd take it back or not. It'd been so long. It'd been 6 months, actually. And they took it back, which is fine. You know, it's great. I was an awesome man. But that's not the testimony I have. While I was unloading the lumber, one of the Home Depot girls came out there and helped me unload it off the trailer. And her name was Amanda. And she was probably, I don't know, 25 at the most. Anyway, afterwards, she told me, she showed me her hand. She said, I kind of nicked my hand on a splinter on that wood up there. And I grabbed her hand and I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And she looked at me. She did one of the double takes. She said, well, amen. And then we got to talking. I said, are you a spirit-filled Christian? She said, I sure am. I said, you speak in tongues? She said, yep, I sure do. I said, praise God. And then I talked with her, ministered for a little bit. And she wanted to know what church I went to. And I said, well, not a very big church. It's more of a home group than anything. But we minister online a lot. And But anyway, I got it off of me and got it back on. I said, what church you go to? And she told me some kind of church, is non-denominational. And anyway, we talked a little bit a while. She couldn't talk long because we had already emptied up the trailer. And I said, would you take a book? I had One Sovereign God in the truck. She said, yeah. I said, I'll read it. I said, okay. So I went and got it and gave it to her. Now I'd like to pray for her. Lord, I thank you for anointing that book that she reads. I thank you, Lord, that it will open her eyes up to the real truth of the gospel. And Lord, I thank you for this, this changing her whole outlook on religion, and that it will now be a personal thing with her. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're going to do in this young lady, Amanda. Don't know her last name, but you do. You know who I'm talking about. And I thank you, Lord, for sending your angels to help her out, do whatever it is that she needs done. And Lord, we just praise you and glorify you for the work that you're going to do in this young lady, Amanda. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Morning, everybody. First, I have a confession and a prayer request, please. My confession is I did refer to the easy way yesterday. I did have a serious headache. I referred that and I already gave it to the Lord and asked forgiveness. So I just want to confess that. And my prayer request is to be more. Spend my time more wisely when during those holidays of all the people on Christmas and everything there. That's it. Thank you.
Probably work better if I unmuted myself. All right. And Joe, if I'm hearing you right, you want us to pray that you use your time more wisely with the Lord. Okay. Well, Lord, we just ask that for all of us. We thank you, Lord, for showing us what's the most important thing. The most important thing is to run out to you with all our heart. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that when we talk with our family members that aren't where we are, that we use a lot of grace and a lot of peace. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that us walking the walk rather than talking the walk will teach them more than anything about our walk with you, Lord. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful work you're doing in Joe and Nora. In Jesus' name. Put it in his heart, Lord, to have a hunger for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Does everybody believe that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. I just praise you, Father, for what the work you're doing in Joe right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Amen. Missy, I thought she was going to fall out the backside of that chair. My goodness. All right. Anybody else? Hey, George.
Hey, everybody.
Well, all right. Anybody else got something they'd like to say? Comment on. Yeah, Barry.
You know, following on with what Joe was talking about there, I think we all struggle with that a little bit, you know, using our time wisely. You know, I had a little epiphany the other day about this very same thing. It's like, we say we're wasting our time, but in fact, it's not our time. It's not our time to waste. You know, that's just my perspective on this. And, you know, everybody struggles with it. And I believe the Lord's doing a good work in us pointing that out. That's the first thing, is to know that there's an issue. And I believe he's working it out in us, working out a good plan in our lives to take care of that for us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I believe it. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I have a small testimony. The last meeting we prayed for a guy at my work. His name is Phil. He's not a Christian. He belongs to some religion that's probably been only around for the last 20, 30 years. He told me what it was, and I looked it up on the internet, and of course, it's just the devil. And he was in the room where there's a computer that's shared by all the people who have machines, because we don't have an office to look up our incoming mail from the university where I work. And because he had some spare time, he was on YouTube and he was watching Fox News with some of the Trump stuff. And I heard a positive report coming out of this guy's mouth about Trump. And he watched some of the Nancy Pelosi stuff. And he just came out of his mouth that it made me snicker on the inside. He said, that woman's just evil. She looks evil. And I snickered on the inside. And I told him that. And, I had to work in the same room because there's equipment to work on in this room and a desk with that. And of course, they all watch their YouTube when they have spare time. I'm subjected to watching this stuff too at the same time. Some of it's really bad, but they're worldly people. And, it was just amazing. I told him, I just said, well, you know, this guy, Trump was talking about something. And he said, look how he's talking. And I said, yeah, he's talking with a bit of backbone. And he's just taking it back to what they dished out to him, you know, and he's dishing it back to them now. And I said, you know, there probably was a lot of Republicans. This is in Canada, okay? So probably were a lot of Republicans that didn't like Obama, but they at least let him be president and they didn't try to impeach him. But what about this guy? They tried to impeach him like he wasn't even president for 2 days and they were talking about it. So I out of all the negativeness, to have one positive thing finally coming out of these people at my workplace, it was just like, I think it was the very next day after we prayed that God send someone to this guy to straighten up with something. And it's just a small observance that the Lord showed me anyway for this testimony about this guy seeing something now. And I think a lot of people are actually seeing because of what's coming out in Fox News.
Waking up, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, so it just brought some grace to me that people are starting to see the answer to a lot of prayer that's been given out for this. And praise God for it all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, a lot of people are waking up. Boy, there's still a bunch of them out there that still are fighting.
And this guy is usually a real fighting kind of guy. His words and stuff. To hear something like that come out of him was not natural at all.
Amen.
Andrew, were you saying it's uncharacteristic of that guy to say what he said? Totally?
Very uncharacteristic.
Praise the Lord.
Very. No. And it just, I laughed on the inside. I didn't laugh out loud, you know, yeah. when he was saying that, because he just happened to say it because I was the only one in the room. And anyway.
Well, that's awesome. God allowed you to hear it.
Yeah, but you know, he watched something else after that, and it was real vulgar, and I don't even want to.
He just negated everything, yeah.
Negated it. Well, I even actually felt the demon come out of the computer screen and kind of jump on me, and I said, "Well, what's going on here? Forget
this." Amen. Julie, you live close to the hood. I keep hearing sirens about every time you get on.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's a really busy. It's a busy road. Across the street from me is a California Department of Forestry. There's a fire department a block away from me, and the sheriff's station is about 3 miles away from me. So I see ambulances and police and you know fire trucks, all kinds of stuff going up and down my street. So sorry for the sirens.
Oh no, that's okay. That's all right.
That's what it is. No, I don't live near the hood. I don't live near the hood. I travel through there at times, but I'm not in the hood.
All right.
There's just always activity out here. I am completely safe wherever I am, though.
We hear a siren out here where I live, out here in the country. It's a major deal. I mean, it's like a double feature on the movies, you know.
Everybody, I remember that when I was a kid, it was a small town, and anytime we heard we're 2 miles away from town, and they would there's like a whistle. They had actually like a whistle, a really high pitched loud whistle, and you would hear if you were in town, wherever you were, you would hear the siren, which meant something was going on. It was in a warning thing, but I just know my mom got all upset because if a small town and you heard the siren or you heard the ambulance or anything, it's like it was somebody you knew. And she was always like, oh, wonder what happened now to so-and-so, you know, or somebody who's that, you know, for. And so, yeah, it's a big deal when you hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, okay. Anybody else? Well, I don't have anything tonight. I've been chasing kids all afternoon, so y'all will have to forgive me. Go ahead, George.
I think God just gave me a thought when Andrew was talking, and I was thinking about the anointing being a yoke destroyer and a burden remover. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, we can hear you.
That if he's having to be subjected, or if any of us in the body of Christ are being subjected to the world, and it's a burden to our spirit, that God is ready to clean up around us and let us be salt and light and let it be effective. And the Holy Spirit is about to shine and burn very bright wherever we take him. And I thought, as soon as I thought about that, I thought about the origins of a lot of universities, how so many of them were seminaries. They were built out of great awakenings. The great awakening in North America and different places where universities were planted through the ministries of individuals and great gatherings of godly minded young men and women or whatever. And I believe God's about to uncork those wells of revival in those places where young people have been getting just how the enemy has reigned and ruled in those places, that I believe God is tired of it. And I just want to speak light and life to these places where young people, there's going to be a sovereign move of God where we will be, you know, we'll be in strategic places as the body of Christ to guide them to truth. And it won't matter what the agenda has been for the last 60 years, God is about to trump the agendas. and communism and darkness and lies are about to be exposed, and truth, even with the internet, that these young people cannot be lied to, because they can go find. It's like the Bible talks about, that men will go to and fro and find, you know, they'll be able to run and find the truth so quickly. And I believe that this light and this truth is overcoming the darkness. So, Father, I just thank you right now for your truth. And I thank you that no lie can stand any longer to the light. And, Father, that your people are in strategic places to help these wounded young people who have been starved for truth, to bring them into a simple revelation of the gospel. And it is the power of God. And Father, I'm so grateful that you chose the foolishness of preaching to reach the lost and to witness to their spirits, and that you know who are yours, the elect, Lord. And we just thank you that we're going to be able to see the bright light in our brothers and sisters' eyes and talk to them freely about the Lord and good things, and that there's nothing that can stop what's coming in every level of society, Father, that we will see this harvest in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe it with you. Thank you, Lord. We're looking for a revival. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, anybody else? Anybody get any revelations out the word this week? Yeah, Andrew.
Paul, I was reviewing some of the things that I used to remember about when they used to quote chapter verses and verses. For instance, I remembered the one about Revelation 13:16 and Exodus 13:16, and I thought about the armor of God, you know. But the Exodus 13:16 is when they used to put the scripture verses in the boxes and wrap it around your hand, and they did another one for your forehead, and I guess their favorite verses was in there, so that their mind would be guided by these verses, and the works of their hands would be guided by these verses. I immediately thought about Tabitha in the book of Acts, but I also thought about the armor of God. With your hands, you have a shield in one and a sword in the other, and we both know that's the word of God. So we don't need no little boxes. We've got the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith occupying us with the word of God there for our hands to do these works. And of course, the helmet of salvation would cover that forehead. And it was just an excitement to see that Tabitha had that shield and that sword for her making of those clothing material that she made for all the people. And I'm sure she lived in a small town, and even when if she saw an unbeliever that was expecting a child, she would get busy making a little outfit for that little baby or something. And it just made it all kind of add up in a small way for me, because I never really thought of this that way before. And well, praise God.
So what are you saying? You're saying we need to keep the word in front of us all the time?
Well, no, what I'm saying is I'm comparing to the with these little boxes that they have there, and they used to do that in Exodus. I'm comparing that to the shield of faith in one hand.
Amen.
And sort of the spirit. I mean, if you have a shield of faith and you're left-handed, it's going to be in your right hand, and your sword of the Spirit's going to be in your left hand. But if you're right-handed, it's going to be in your right hand. And the shield of faith, so your hands are occupied by faith and the word at all times. And that's the little box, and that's also against the mark of the beast that would be in the hands of people, you know, that follow man's word rather than God's word. The glory of man instead of the glory of God.
Amen.
Yeah. But it just, I never really, and of course the Tabitha, she had the sword. She's only making garments for people and she's doing kindly works, but that's it too, with faith and with the love of God in through the word of God. So it's just amazing how it would collate that way. That everybody has a ministry.
Amen. Go ahead, Tim.
I'm going to take Andy's statement there one step further. If you know, the Revelation 13:16 part of taking the mark of the beast, if you've got that box with the verse covering your forehead and the sword in your right hand, there's no place to put that mark of the beast because you got your forehead's blocked with the word of God and you got the sword in your right hand. So there's nowhere for that mark. There's no way to take it. This is a little sidebar to that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
I have a question for you. Twice now I've read in the Master's Indwelling, I believe it's chapter 3, that's called Waiting on God. Have you ever shared that in the Bible study? Because I know you shared some of Andrew Murray's stuff. That chapter, I read it twice now. I read it, gosh, maybe a month and a half ago at the most. And I just read it again this morning. And it's just like, oh my gosh, it's like, it's so good. It's so encouraging. And I was just wondering if you've ever read that, shared that.
Yeah, in the Bible. I've read the whole thing, but I've never shared it, I don't think.
I mean, yeah.
That's the Master's Indwelling, right?
Yeah. I was thinking that I don't know how many chapters that has or whatever, but the chapters aren't that long. Mm-mm. I think that would be something that would be awesome for us to maybe just an idea. Maybe for us to go over. I never looked to see how many chapters it has.
Probably around 31. He does that a lot, you know.
Yeah, well, which I think is awesome because you can use mm-hmm. it as a daily devotional for 1 month at least.
I was looking to see if I had it on the iPad. I don't think I do. I'll tell you another awesome book that he has is Holy in Christ. That's a good book too.
Sounds like a book about sanctification, huh?
Yeah, it really is. Oh yeah, I do have it too. You say chapter 3?
Yeah.
What, waiting on God? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that one. That's a good one.
That's really good. I feel like I want to read it again, even though I just read it this morning. It's just like it grips you so much, and it's like, and I highlighted some of it, and I was just like, I was just like, I gotta slow down and not eat like a pig. But it was just like, it's like the first time I read it and I got to a certain point, I just quit highlighting because I was just like so engrossed in it and just read and read and read. And that's how it caught me this time again. And it's just like, it's just like, it's so riveting and so encouraging that it's like,
We can do that if everybody's agreeable.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, that's really something. I'm reading the same thing right now, but my
get out of town.
It's a whole little book. It's called The Believer's Secret of Waiting on God, and it's a bunch of little short messages. But it is so incredible. It has so gripped my heart. It has been such a blessing. And I was just thinking, you know, this would help anybody. It was just, I'm with Missy. It is, and I've read quite a bit of Andrew Murray, but I think this is absolutely one of the best. And it's just easy, the way it's written. It's so easy. Sometimes this stuff is almost too deep for me, but this is not. And
what's it called again, Marilyn?
Well, the one that I have is, it's a little book, and it's called The Believer's Secret of Waiting on God.
Oh, okay.
But I think it's probably the same thing. It's a bunch of little bitty short messages to make up the whole book, you know, almost like little devotionals. And it's just great.
Well, The Master's Indwelling, by the way, it only has 13 chapters. But Let me read the first paragraph of this. He quotes Psalm 62 and 5. It says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Then he goes on to say, the solemn question comes to us, is the God I have a God that is to me above all circumstances? Glory be to God. Is he near to me than any circumstance can be? Brother, have you learned to live your life having God so really with you every moment that in circumstances the most difficult, he is always more present and nearer than anything around you? All our knowledge of God's word will help us very little unless that comes to be the question to which we get an answer. Ooh, glory to God. That's awesome.
I'm sorry, but you got to continue.
Well, let's talk about that a minute. Anybody know what he's talking about? When God, what he's saying in Arkansas language, he said, when God is bigger than anything else that comes up around you, you got it made. You got peace. You got rest. That's what you have. You don't have to worry about those circumstances. That's what he's beginning to talk to us about, is the circumstances around us shouldn't be as big as our God. Then he goes on. He says, what can be the reason that so many of God's beloved children complain continually? My circumstances separate me from God. My trials, my temptations, my character, my temper, my friends, my enemies, anything can come between my God and me. Is God not able so to take possession that he can be nearer to me than anything in the world? Must riches or poverty, joy or sorrow have a power over me that my God has not? No. But why then do God's children so often complain that their circumstances separate them from him? There can be but one answer. They do not know their God. If there is trouble or feebleness in the church of God, it is because of this. We don't know the God we have. And that is why, in addition to the promise, I will be thy God, The promise is so often added, and ye shall know that I am your God. If I know that, not through man's teaching, not with my mind or my imagination, but if I know that in the living evidence which God gives in my heart, then I know that the divine presence of my God will be so wonderful, and my God himself will be so beautiful and so near, that I can live all my days and years a conqueror through him that loved me. Is that not the life which we need? Ooh, glory to God, yeah. Amen. Ooh, Jesus. Anybody want to comment on that? Anybody disagree? Don't raise your hand.
You know, it's almost like he's taking God out of the box for us in those words. Because, you hear the saying, get God out of the box there and make him the big God that he is. And you know, I remember a time when I used to live in the country. And I had my own garden, and I was out on a winter's day, and there was snow on the garden. And I was just standing in the middle of the garden looking up at the sky, and I seen, like, because in the country there's not too many streetlights, and you see all the stars in the heaven when you focus on it and you go, wow. And then it suddenly came to me that God created all that, and how sometimes your itty bitty problem it's just so just nothing compared to that. You know, it's you shouldn't even be having that, you know, and it just made it all seem so simple and easy too when those words were coming off that page like that. It makes you want to open the Bible and go read about how David experienced these things too. And you know, back then, today, some other person who's had it, like, I don't know what year Andy Murray was around, but he had it too, you know, where he experienced that, and how awesome God is and how almighty he is, you know. Wow. Anyway.
Yeah, Missy.
What prompted me to, because I hadn't, I read those first three chapters in Master's Indwelling, and I just didn't get back to it. But today, my daily devotional, I thought of that, and the Lord led me back to read that. And can I read the daily devotional? Because it's so good, and it goes very well with it. It's called Your Inner Life, and it's the verse that he gives is Luke 11:40. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? The outward is the visible expression of the hidden inward life. The outward is generally known before the inward. Through it, the inward is developed and reaches its full perfection. The Apostle Paul said, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. To maintain the right relationship between the inward and the outward is one of the secrets of the Christian life. There's that secret word, Marilyn. If Adam in the garden had not listened to the serpent, his trial would have resulted in the perfecting of his. Adam did not seek his happiness in the hidden inward life of a heart in which God's command was honored. Instead, he fixed his desire on the world around him, on the pleasure that the knowledge of good and evil would give him. All false religion, from idolatry to corruption of Christianity, has its root in this desire. Deception takes place when the outward, that which pleases the eye, the mind, or the taste, takes the place of truth in the inward. Christianity is a matter of the heart. a heart into which God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, a heart in which the love of God is poured out, Romans 5:5. And true salvation is found. The inner chamber, with its secret communion with the Father, who seeth in secret, is the training school for the inner life. The daily use of the inner chamber will make the inner hidden life strong. Now, these last two paragraphs are the zinger. In religion, the great danger in giving more interest to outward experience than to inward reality. It is not the intensity of your Bible study or the frequency of your prayers or works that make for a true spiritual life. What we need to realize is that God is a spirit. There is also a spirit within us who can know and receive him. Look in your heart and your heart will find its savior. It's God. If you see and feel nothing of God, it is because you seek him in books, in church, in outward religious exercises. You will not find him there until you have found him in your heart. Seek him in your heart, and you will never seek in vain, for he dwells there, in his Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, we've been talking here in the last few months about getting distracted. And boy, I tell you, that's something that that grabs me at times. And man, we'll be rocking along there real good, and then something will show up. You get off of it, and here you go. You know, news is to try to keep up with the news is. I guess crazy, because God's the one that makes the news anyway. And if he's the one that makes the news, you got all the news you need through God. But I get distracted, you know, hearing about this and hearing about that and what this one's going to do or that one's not going to do. And next thing you know, 2 hours, you've been in there watching some stupid news program about the same thing you've been watching for the last 2-3 years, you know, and there's nothing new, just that it's going to be the same old stuff, just a newer version of it. But anyway, I'll just talk for myself. I need to quit getting in the news vein. Somebody pecking on the door right there. And anyway, that's kind of what Lord's been dealing with me about. Somebody need to use my purse. I'm just kidding. They left a purse in here. But anyway, any more comment? Don't be commenting on what I said. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. Well, I can go on and read another paragraph here and let's see what else he has to say if y'all like. Is it all right? Being Christmas Eve night. Okay. the question comes again. Why is it that God's people don't know their God? And the answer is, this is what I got through talking about. They take anything rather than God. Ministers and preaching and books and prayers and work and efforts, any exertion of human nature, instead of waiting and waiting long, if need be, until God reveals himself. We've talked about this before. No teaching that we may get and no effort that we may put forth can put us in possession of this blessed light of God, all in all to our souls. But still, it is attainable. It is within reach if God will reveal himself. That is the one necessity. I would to God that everyone would ask his heart whether he has said and is saying every day, I want more of God. Don't speak to me only of the beautiful truth there is in the Bible. That can only satisfy, no, that cannot satisfy me. I want God. In our inner Christian life, in our everyday prayers, in our Christian living, in our churches, in our prayer meetings, in our fellowship, it must come to that, that God always has the first place, and if that be given him, he'll take possession. Oh, if in our lives as individuals, every eye were set upon God, upon the living God, every heart were crying, my soul thirsteth for God. What power, what blessing, and what presence of the everlasting God would be revealed to us. Let me use an illustration. When a man is given an illustrated lecture, he often uses a long pointer to indicate places on a map or chart. Do the people look at the pointer? No. That only helps to show them the place on the map, and they don't even think of it. It might be of fine gold, but the pointer cannot satisfy them. They want to see what the pointer points at. And this Bible is nothing but a pointer pointing to God. And may I say it with reverence, Jesus Christ came to point us, to show us the way, to bring us to God. And I'm afraid there are many people who love Christ and who trust in him, but who fail of the one great object of his work. They have never learned to understand what the scripture saith. He died that he might bring us unto God. Well, he makes some strong statements there. Anybody got any comments on that? Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Kind of interesting. I was reading in Genesis before the meeting started today, and about the serpent, you know, tricking Eve, and God's punishment was, you know, that Adam would have to till the soil to eat. And so the serpent took man out of his rest right off the get-go. And, you know, it took Jesus coming to point out that we have to get back into the rest. And the serpent is still, they're always trying to take that away from us, to put up distractions, to make us think that we have to work, that we have to solve our problems, that God isn't big. Our problems are so insignificant that God's not worried about what we got going on and stuff like that. But all that doubt and unbelief comes right from the devil. And it's, you know, it's his plan right from the very beginning. And it's been very effective, you know, until people can come to the truth. That's why most mankind, I think, is lost, is because the devil's put them to work instead of, you know, letting God take care of their problems.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what came to me was something that the Lord has so impressed upon me and that I shared with my family in an email I sent with them. Is, you know, the Lord just so impressed me that the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, gave us breath and life. And is he not worthy of our worship, of our praise? He didn't put us on this earth to love the pleasures of the world. But, you know, he wanted us to be sons just like Jesus, make us like Jesus, you know. He wants us to be sons. His son is pointing back to the Father, you know, the focus of the Father. You know, Jesus is just the way, like he was saying here. He's the way to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me, you know. His whole purpose was to bring us to the Father. And the Father, you don't call him Father unless you're a son, right? I mean, seriously. I mean, so, yeah. You know, that was the whole, I could, you know, that just really hit me when you just read that again, Michael, you know, that part of that, when you asked that question, you know, anybody have any, what do you think about that? That's some strong statements. And that's just something that the Lord has just so impressed me with. And sometimes I just stop and I think about that for a little bit, you know. We're not here for our purposes to love the pleasures of the world, but for his purpose and for his kingdom and his glory and his honor and his praise. Gosh, none of us would be here. He holds us in the palm of his hand. You know, he's the reason why we're living. We have breath and life. You know, in the natural. But that doesn't mean anything unless we have his breath and life, his eternal life, unless we're in Christ, because in him is eternal life, you know. And, you know, we need to be dwellers in the heaven, dwell in heavenly places, not dwell on the earth. Because in heaven is where our real home is. Because this is just temporary. You know, but I'm kind of thinking and talking out loud.
No, you're right. You know, I know what Andy's talking about. He's talking about getting quiet. And he gets into that unconditional surrender to the Lord, and he talks often about getting quiet with the Lord and listening to what the Lord has to say to you. Now, I know that a lot of times we like to go do the McDonald gospel, where we can flip a coin and try to get an answer from God real quick, and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad at all. I'm just saying God wants a more personal relationship with us. We talked a few weeks back about getting alone with God and asking him what he wanted rather than telling him what we want, you know. And it was amazing the things that God showed, you know, people who did that. And he's still doing it. It's just a matter of getting quiet before God. I even getting words from God, that's okay, that's fine. But why not listen to the voice of God and getting that voice? I know it has to line up. You have to understand. You need to know the word of God in order to make sure, you know, you're getting the voice from God. But I'm telling you, that personal word from God is so much more meaningful, or it is to me, than it would be if I just got to flip a coin or look, you know, open the Bible blindly and point it down to a verse that gave me something that I'd have to sit there and meditate on for a day and a half anyway to figure out what he's saying, or go down there and ask David, you know, whatever. But what Andy's talking about, he's talking about having that personal relationship and listening to God for yourself, to what he has to say. And in everything, listening for that still small voice. Even Kenneth Hagin talks about that a lot in some of his books. He was talking about, I was reading one of his books the other day, and he was talking about this minister that his 24 or 25 year old son, who was also a minister, had a wreck, broke his back, broke his neck, didn't expect him to live. And this pastor, the father, went before the Lord for 16, 18 hours. I forget what it was. It was a day and a night. And all he did, he prayed, and then he prayed in the spirit all night long, on his knees, all night long. And at the hospital, they had just about given up on this young man's life. They had actually said if he lives, he'll be a paraplegic. Won't be able to do much at all. Won't be able to hardly do anything, you know. And when the dad got up from praying, that's when the boy rose up out of his bed and was completely healed. Completely. They couldn't find even a fracture. Couldn't find anything in this boy's back. And the boy told him, he said, when he woke up, he told him, he said, well, God healed me. God really healed me. And they were trying to, he was in a full body cast. And he said, take this thing off of me. God's healed me. And of course, the doctors were giving him all kinds of grief. Said, you can't do that, son. You'll just die or whatever, you know. I said, take it off of him because God's healed me. So they took him back and x-rayed him or whatever they did to him and found out, sure enough, that he had completely healed both breaks, the neck and the back, from this young man because of his father praying and interceding for him. You know, that's, he prayed enough in English, and then the rest of the time he prayed in the spirit. A lot of times we don't have enough, I know about the prayer of faith and the prayer of agreement and all of that, and I know it works. I know it works. But sometimes God's just going to see if we're going to endure in our faith to see it happen. A lot of times, I don't know, you know, I don't understand it. That's what God had him do. And he did it, and God honored his prayers because he was personal with him. That's just one little instance there. But anyway, anybody else got anything they'd like to add to this? Yeah, Debbie.
Well, I used two things on something that I was talking on, and one was the verse in Acts where Paul said, "In him we live and move and have our being." And I thought about that when Missy said, God did not put us here for the pleasures of this world. And I know Christians who literally think that's why they're here. God's blessed us with all these things, all God's blessings to us. And when he does bless us, he wants us to be, you know, I know he blesses us, but that's not why he's got us here. I know that. And the other one was what I heard in a movie. Said that your identity is what you put first in your life. That's your identity. You make that your identity, what you put first in your life. So I wanted to share those thoughts. I like that one verse, though, in him we live and move and have our being. The first time I came across that many years ago, when I first really started walking again with the Lord, I came across that verse, and I just love that verse ever since. So.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
What Missy was talking about too kind of triggered something that I'd read recently in one of my favorite books. One of my favorite chapters in the book of Isaiah is chapter 43. And, you know, it's just all about who God is, you know, and who he says we are and what he's given us. And, you know, that he's he is the Lord our God. You know, he's our Savior. He is the Holy One of Israel. He gives Egypt, you know, for our ransom, for our lives, and he gives other people's lives in return for us. And the verse I was thinking of was verse 6. This is the Revised Standard Version. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, and bring forth the peoples who are blind yet have eyes and who are deaf and yet have ears. Let all the nations gather together and let the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to justify them, and let them hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, says the Lord. I am God, and henceforth I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can hinder it? And it just goes on about who he is, and I just love that whole chapter. But what I was thinking of is, like, you know, we're his witnesses. He created us for him. He created us to glorify him. He created us to know him and to believe him and understand who he is. You know, he's very personal. He wants us all to really know him. He is our God. He is our Father. I mean, you know, your father, earthly father, he wants us to know him the same way, you know, and that's just the intimacy that he wants to have with each of us one-on-one. That's why he created us. We're not just here for ourselves, like everyone's saying. We're not just here to, you know, we're not here for any other purpose except for him. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, there's another one in here that I like in 43. I'm trying to find it.
I like 19, verse 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. And for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I have formed for myself, that they might declare my praise.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the drink. Quench our thirst.
Yep. Well, I'm at a loss again.
In 25, verse 25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Praise the Lord.
Here it is, 26. It's 26. Put me in remembrance, this is the Lord speaking. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Set thou forth thy cause that thou mayest be justified. That's one of them. In other words, let's plead it together. Y'all, I'll plead with you. You know, you just call me to remembrance of these things. That's what he's saying. Bring it to my remembrance. That's what it was. Bring me to what you've already prayed for. Bring my remembrance to it. If you've prayed for something and you haven't gotten an answer, bring his thoughts to his mind. Remember, Lord, I prayed this prayer. Bless God, and I know you're going to answer your prayers because I trust you to answer those prayers that I pray. And I'm bringing your remembrance to it and thanking you, Lord, that you're going to answer this prayer for me. In Jesus' name. That's what he wants us to do that. That's not the one I was thinking about, but it's in somewhere close to here, somewhere. But anyway, I was reading that the other day, and that's the way I started praying for those things that I had been praying for, you know. I said, Lord, I'm going to bring this to your remembrance because you said in your word to bring it to your remembrance. So bless God, I'm going to do that, you know, and that's what we do. Anybody else got a comment on this?
So in other words, what you're telling us is he put it in your remembrance to remember to remember.
Okay. Lord, help me to remember what I'm supposed to have you remember. Amen. That's right. Okay, Andrew. All right. I'm going to go on with this then, if that's all right with y'all. There is a difference between the way and the end which I am aiming at. I might be traveling amid most beautiful scenery in the most delightful company, but if I have a home to which I want to go, all the scenery and all the company and all the beauty and happiness around me cannot satisfy me. I want to reach the end. I want my home. And God is meant to be the home of our souls. Christ came into the world to bring us back to God. And unless we take Christ for what God intended, we should, our religion will always be a divided one. What do we read in Hebrews chapter 7? He is able to save to the uttermost whom? Them that come to God by him. Not them that only come to Christ. In Christ, bless his name, We have the graciousness, the condescension, and the tenderness of God. But we are in danger of standing there and being content with that. And Christ wants to bring us back to rejoice as much as in the glory of God Himself, in His righteousness, His holiness, His authority, His presence, and His power. He can save completely those who come to God through Him. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We always pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and I believe that's what Andy's saying here. Sometimes we like to get caught up in our own religiosity. We can save, that last sentence, He can save completely those who come to God through Him. Yeah, Leon.
I like that, Michael, because so many people are focused on Jesus, and as we should be focused on Jesus, but God is like an extra thing, you know, and it's really the focus should be on God through Jesus, and I like what he just said. So actually, Jesus is going to turn the First Corinthians 15, Jesus is going to turn the kingdom back over to God and submit to Him as well. You know, so that's what we need to do.
That's what Jesus did when He was here on earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what He said He was going to do. You know, He's going to mediate for us while He's up there now. But we are to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Praise God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to pray to Jesus. We just pray in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to go on here if I can. Y'all mind? There's some good stuff. Now, just a very few thoughts on the way by which I can come to know God as this God above all circumstances, filling my heart and life every day. The one thing needful is I must wait upon God. The original is, it is in our Dutch version, and it is in the margin too. My soul is silent into God. What ought to be the silence of the soul unto God? A soul conscious of its littleness, its ignorance, its prejudices, and its dangers from passion, from all that is human and sinful, a soul conscious of that and saying, I want the everlasting God to come in and to take hold of me and to take such a hold of me that I may be kept in the hollow of His hand for my life long. I want Him to take possession of me that every moment He may work all in me. That is what is implied in the very nature of our God. How we ought to be silent unto Him and wait upon Him. Man, that's awesome. That's some good stuff there. A soul conscious of its littleness, its ignorance. We all know where we are inside of us. We might put on a persona. We might put on a facade for the Christians around us. But we know, you know, I know the littleness of me. I know how much I have to rely on God in just about everything. I don't a lot of times, but I sure want to. I want the everlasting God to come in and to take hold of me and to take such a hold of me that I may be kept in the hollow of His hand my whole life. Go ahead, Julie.
I have a question for you. And I've heard this said before, and I just want to understand a little bit further. I know it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that it doesn't say we should pray to Jesus. We're supposed to pray to the Father. He taught us to pray, you know, our Father who art in heaven. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is the eternal Father, right? And he's the Father of all eternity. And people, God will meet you where you're at, and he's our great high priest, and he intercedes for us all the time for the Father. And I don't see, you know, that it's wrong to pray, you know, Jesus, you know, cry out to Jesus and pray to him, you know, at times. Because he understands our suffering. No. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make a deal out of that, but it's just kind of like I don't want to get like religious about it or anything. It's just, you know, it's you like, I just kind of want to talk about that a little bit, because I don't see it wrong, because people are just like, you know, he's planting the seeds in us. He's the sower, you know, it's his word. He's our Father too, you know, we're his children. Oh, there's other people who listen to this. That's why I guess I kind of wanted to bring that out there.
In John, I think it's 17, Jesus says, you haven't asked me for anything. Now ask God in my name and he'll give it to you. That's basically Leon's version of it. That's not the exact wordage, but
pretty close. That's
what he says, you know, speak to God in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And ask him in my name, and he'll do it for you.
Right.
So.
I've been in here several times, and I hear other people say it too. It's like, Jesus, help me. Well, who are you praying to? Who are you calling on? You're calling on Jesus.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I've said that myself.
Yeah.
Me too. So. Yeah. He's my brother.
Amen.
But when we pray, we should do like the scriptures say, and pray in Jesus' name for the things that we're earnest about. That's what the word says. He's right in John 16. It says, no one is to pray in my name, but to the Father. Something like that. I'm kind of like Leon. It's something like that. All right. Anybody else want to come in here and talk about praying to Jesus? Yeah, Joe.
I was always thinking, it's my own thing. It says Jesus is a key to the Father. If you don't have a key, you have nothing. You don't have a key to life is to the Father. It's not. Key is very important. You have to have it, not just in your pocket, but you have to have it to go to the Father.
Absolutely. And what is Jesus now? It's the Word of God, isn't it?
Oh, it's life.
Amen.
He's got a lot of names. He's the door. You know?
He's the door.
He's the door. He's the key. He's the door.
Key.
He's the key to the kingdom, you know.
If you don't have the key, you can't start the car, can you?
He's everything, you know. He's everything. But yeah, and I do respect, you know, we do come to God our Father through the Lord, and we ask it all, you know, in his name. We come to him in his name, in his nature, in his character, and we have to come to him in faith, you know, knowing that Jesus is the way there to our Father's heart.
Amen. Yeah, Danny, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry, Tim. I'll get you.
We know that Jesus has been made a life-giving spirit, and also that he's been made both Lord and Christ. It's like, what does that fully mean? I've heard it stated that he's been made both Father and Spirit. You know, like... So, but in that capacity, how do we respond? You know, if he's been made both Lord and Christ.
Well, he said, the Father is greater than I am. And if the Father is greater than I am, then he's the Father. Jesus is the go-between. And so we pray to God the Father through Jesus. Does that make any sense? Did that make any sense?
When after he was ascended and went back into the glory with the Father, the same glory as he had before the world was, his he was glorified, his humanity was glorified, and it's at that point that he was seated at the right hand of the Father, you know, the seating, so he had put in that place of authority and made both Lord and Christ. But this was after his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, seating, and glorification, and then made both Lord and Christ. So I just wonder, you know, what, just wonder, ponder about that. Go ahead, Leon.
You know, when he returns, he's going to have the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his side. So he's been exalted to a place of lordship, and he is our Lord, you know, and he's our everything. He's our Christ. He's our Savior. And that's what the Christ is, Redeemer. And so he has all authority in the kingdom right now. God gave it over to him. But then later on, he'll give it back to the God. He'll give it back to God and submit himself under God. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. But for the time being, he is the Lord. He's the one that we worship. And because he gives us access to God. And God hears our prayers because of him. You know, so that would be my explanation of that. Debbie's got a question now. You're off.
Debbie, did you have a question? Yes, you did.
I was just saying to Denny, I thought that Jesus said, I was going to look it up, for now. Didn't he say it that way? For now, you ask nothing.
Let me see if I can find
or up that. Until now, you ask nothing in my name. Or however it was, like you said, however it worded.
Something like that.
But like for now, it's that way. But I guess he knew that later when he'd be glorified, seated with the Father, and he's one.
Yeah, that's in John 17. Oh. That's the one I was trying to quote before that I couldn't quote.
What was it going to look for?
Okay, go ahead, Judy. I'm looking this one up.
Well, I had another question. It'll just kind of confuse everybody too. So, what is the difference, and why is it worded differently? Sometimes Jesus is referred to Jesus Christ, and other times he's referred to as Christ Jesus. Savior, anointed, or the anointed Savior. Is there a difference in how that's worded in the scriptures, and how it's referenced and how it's worded? Just something to ponder on. I don't know if anyone, you know, he is the Christ and he is Jesus, the Savior. but sometimes it's worded in, you know, in Christ Jesus, or sometimes it's, it refers to him as Jesus Christ.
Well, I got a little theory on that, and I've noticed that there's a lot of words that are transposed like that. The meaning stays the same, but the wording has changed. I think that's because of the numeric pattern in the Bible that it was put in that way to maintain the numerics. And that's just a theory, but I don't think there's a change in the meaning in a lot of those phrases and the wording like that. I think it's just to keep the numeric pattern going. You know, we don't have it, of course, in, at least I don't, and I wouldn't understand if I did, in Hebrew or Greek, but I think that's probably why that was done that way. That's just opinion, not anything else.
Okay, I found what I was looking for, Debbie. That's in John 16 and 23, but let's go to the verse before it. This is what he's talking about. And ye therefore know how far, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one takes away from you. In that day, okay, in that day, you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it you in my name. Hitherto, up to now, you ask nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So what he's saying is, from this point on, after I ascend, I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father. You can ask anything in my name, I'll tell the Father to go ahead and give it to you. But we're still praying to the Father. Julie.
So to me, what that means to me is up until that point, Jesus was with them, and everything they asked, they went right. They went, you know, they went to Jesus. And then he was ascended, and he said, you know, you're going to ask the Father in my name. Well, to me, asking in Jesus' name is asking what is, I know what the name is his nature, character, and his authority. So I don't necessarily have to use the name Jesus. I'm asking Father to save this person, heal him, deliver him, provide for him, because I know it's God's will. I know it's his nature and his character to answer me in that regard. Am I right? Is that how you?
Well, yeah. Think of it this way. We're ambassadors of Christ, right? And if we're ambassadors of Christ, we have the same nature, character, and authority that Jesus did. We're standing in the same stead that Jesus stood. And so we ask the Father, just like Jesus did. Because we know Jesus lives inside of us. We're doing it because of him.
And we are his children, so we have his same name. So we're asking we're asking things in our Father's name to, you know, we know it's his will. We know it's his, you know, his nature to answer accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I like the next verse, 2 and 25. These things have I spoken unto you in dark sayings. The hour comes when I shall no more speak unto you in dark sayings, but shall tell you plainly of the Father. That's what the Holy Spirit does when he gives us revelations, right? Revelations out of the Word. He speaks to us plainly. We ask the Lord, Lord, show me something good in your Word today. Show me, peel back these onion skins off these verses and show me what you really want me to see. Go ahead, Tim.
I think, you know, that if we're the body of Christ, through this, we have direct access to the Father, you know, either through Jesus or through ourselves, because with his nature, character, and authority, we do what we see the Father and speak of what we hear from the Father. So we should have direct access because we are the body.
We are the body of Christ. Yeah. Amen. That's cool. Yeah, Leah.
That was the whole idea behind the veil being rent in the temple, to open up the Holy of Holies so we could have direct access to the Father through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah, 26. Just keep on going here. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, Jesus, and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came out from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go unto the Father. Now y'all figure that one out. It's pretty simple. You know, he's sitting up there at the right hand of the Father right now. And when we ask him to do something, we ask the Father to do something. Jesus said, Lord, did you hear what Michael said down there? Reckon we can help him out? Yeah, let's do that. Let's go help old Michael out. And he'll do it. Jesus, I can see him doing that all the time, you know. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate that. Give a good word to the Father for me. But like Tim was talking about, we have the same authority as Jesus has. We just have to recognize that authority ourselves. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what comes to my mind, he's our, oh, the word paraclete or something like that, or is that, I think is, he's our, I guess that's the same thing as saying he intercedes for us, or our lawyer, or
one that comes alongside.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, okay, he's able to do that, because he's like, he kind of says to the Father, well, you know, Father, you know, I did shed my blood and die for their sins, and, you know, and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like he's like saying, yeah, come on, do that for him, you know. I did this so that, you know, so that they could be heard, because I think it's in John 8 where the blind man says to him, well, God doesn't hear sinners, you know. Basically, it's just a Missy's paraphrase, you know. So, yeah.
Praise God. Every time you see that stuff in red, just get excited, don't you? Go ahead, Julie.
I like what Missy said, because that just brought something back to my remembrance, that, you know, he's our counselor, he's our paraclete, he's like our lawyer. And I always looked at that like he's always standing before the throne of God interceding for us, and the devil's up there accusing us to him all the time about something that we did, or we made a mistake, or we failed, or, you know, some sin, or, you know, he's condemning us all the time. And I just like, no, Jesus is up there as my lawyer. He's defending me every time.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Because he's our enemy is always out there accusing us, you know.
Amen.
You know, he's the accuser.
Devil, you might as well just sit down, because I have Jesus as my lawyer. That's right. My defense lawyer. You might as well just go ahead on and sit down. Boy, it's been good. Maybe we can continue this on. Y'all want to continue this on Thursday night? Anybody going to be here Thursday night? What's today? It's Christmas Eve, isn't it?
Isn't the last Thursday worship stuff?
That's right. Is this the last Thursday?
I think so. I'm not sure. Yeah.
The first is next Wednesday. First, you know, here we've gone through another year. My goodness, y'all are getting old.
Not as old as you, Michael.
Well, oh, boy. Thanks, Judy.
For yes, some of us are feeling it too.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You're all feeling like you're 20 years old. It's 2020. It's like the next decade. That's a weird. Somebody said that.
Decade. Oh my gracious! How many decades has it been? Too many. Way too many.
2020.
Oh, for graciousness. Oh, goodness.
Michael, when you said, you know, here we've gone through another year, and I'm like, yeah, how long, Lord, come, Lord? Another year. Oh, he's so long.
He's coming soon.
He's coming soon. Yeah, soon. He's soon.
Okay, now are you talking God soon or our soon?
Yeah. That's the deal.
Do I have to say Jesus. A day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day in with the Lord?
My goodness. Well, in any case, he's coming right when he's supposed to. Hey, you know what? I had my girls got together. They got me a gift. Anybody know what that is?
Is it something Google?
Yeah. It's a mission.
I know exactly what it is, Michael. You're going to love it.
It's what a smoke it? Detector.
That's what I was thinking when I saw it. No, it's they're both right. It's a Google thing or other. And they said, all you got to do is talk to it. And I've been talking to it, and it ain't said nothing back to me yet.
Oh, that's not then what I got. I got something similar, but mine, it looks similar, but it's not the same. Mine's a speedy charger thing. You just lay your phone on top of it, plug it in, and it charges up real quick.
Oh, no, but this is
yours is different.
Yeah, they say I can talk to this thing and tell it what to do. Like, I want to go listen to people in songs for a while, and it'll go in there and get me people in songs and start playing their song.
That's another way they can track what you're thinking.
Yep, and they're recording your voice. And
It's just going to a third party, and they're analyzing it and see if you got guns.
I've got a Google speaker, and I keep the mic off so they don't hear what I say.
Yeah, that doesn't work. That works for you, but not for them.
Right. Well, they don't have to hear my conversations. I don't say, hey, Google, what time is it? Or, hey, Google, is it raining outside? Or, hey, Google.
But I'm saying it doesn't work. You can cut it off, but they can still hear you.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give this to Leon.
No, I don't believe that. In Jesus' name, Leon. No.
Well, in Jesus' name, it may not work. That's the way it is.
They just hear me praying in tongues a lot. They don't know what I'm saying.
Oh, for goodness sake. It looks like a hockey puck. I asked him, I said, is it a Bluetooth speaker? That's all I need. I don't need all that other stuff. I know what time it is. I got a watch and all that other stuff. It's a Cyrus thing or Cirrus or ever, how do they say it? And I said, you know Siri? What a Cirrus, huh?
Siri?
I guess.
Yes, Siri questions Apple stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they say it works off of that. I said, well, will it play music? That's all I want it to do. So they said, yeah, you just have to tell it what to do. Okay.
You'll have to go on to Google and ask them how to get the directions.
Well, I hadn't read the directions yet. That takes too much time.
Remember, your voice is out there.
Yeah, I know. Well, all right, Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful night. We thank you, Father, for honoring our prayer and giving us some new revelations tonight. We just praise you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to get together with all these lovely brothers and sisters across the country and around the world. Thank you, Father, for protecting us, providing for us, delivering us, healing us, all of those wonderful things that you've promised us in your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you're placing in us to trust you, to believe what your word says, and to stand on those promises and to bring your back to remembrance of those prayers that we've prayed. And Father, we thank you for the awesome work you're doing in us to bring us more into that Christ-like nature that you want, bearing that fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in a mighty way. We thank you, Lord, that signs and wonders wherever we go will follow us. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for this great end-time revival that's fixing to start. I can only, man, I tell you what, that's going to be an awesome time, Father. People will get so hungry for you, Lord. It's going to be just like giving out popsicles. Everybody wants some of it. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Thursday night we're going to sing praises to you. And we're all just going to have a wonderful time in Jesus' name. Be with us, Lord. Protect us. Give us a good night's sleep tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good night, y'all. Lord bless you.
What happened? God bless y'all.
Here it is. Let me unmute everybody.
Good night, y'all.
Okay.
Good night, y'all. Good night, all.